What does it look like when you actually trust your curiosity so much that you allow it to lead you on a winding and wild journey that leads you straight to where you're supposed to be? Today on the Cultured Podcast, we talk to Victoria Villasana, all the way from Guadalajara, Mexico, to find out how a life of creative exploration and curious freedom led her to being a thriving textile artist. Welcome to the Cultured Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Corey, and together we'll journey into the unknown reaches of the art world. Hello, my babies! Oh my goodness, I love this interview with Victoria, and I cannot wait for you to meet her and to hear her amazing perspective. She is just one of the warmest spirits I've had the pleasure of talking to on Cultured. But before we get there, you know what we need to do. We need to talk about what's inspiring me this week. And it's pretty apropos. This week, I am inspired by Mexico City. I just recently went to Mexico City right before recording this episode, actually. I went for a quick long weekend. It was about 4 days with my best friend, Masha, who you guys heard from in a previous episode when we went to Colombia, to Bogota. Mexico City was absolutely breathtaking. There are colors everywhere. There are smiles everywhere. There is music and food, and it is an absolute multi-sensory explosion. I loved it so much. You know, I honestly wasn't expecting to love Mexico City as much as I did. I will say I felt so in my Latinahood there. I felt like connected to my ancestors almost. It was a really amazing experience. And while a lot of people were sort of warning us and telling us, like, you have to be really safe there, it can get really dangerous, I actually felt very safe the entire time. So I really felt welcomed. The people were amazing. The food was amazing. The culture, the history. I mean, the history is fascinating. I could do an entire episode like I did on Iceland, episode one. It's fascinating, man. So yeah, it got me buzzing. It was a really nice, much needed creative refresh. And I really appreciated that my best friend, that Masha forced me to go on this trip. She didn't force me, but she definitely encouraged me to make the space for it. And I'm so glad I did. Viva México. Gracias por todo el amor. Los quiero mucho. Mwah, 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 mwah. Now we get to spend some time with a wonderful Mexicana. Let's do it. Hi, Victoria. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I have been following your work for a while, and it brings me so much joy. And it also brings me that like kick-ass womanly feeling. Like I feel very empowered by your work. So I'm really excited to share that inspiration, that empowerment, that joy with the Cultured crew today. So let's start with something really simple, which is, you know, who are you? And please describe your artwork.
Well, my name is Victoria Villasana, and I'm originally from Mexico. And I'm a textile artist / street artist as well.
So what exactly do you mean by textile artist, though? Because it is not what anybody's going to conjure in their heads.
Yeah, I know. I mean, because I didn't study art. I mean, I studied design, actually. So for me, I just came up with this name to describe a little bit what I do, because every time the people ask me, so what do you do? Well, I use yarn and photography, and I don't know, it's a term that is just made it shorter for me, you know, to explain to people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically what I do is I work with textile, and I work with yarn mainly, and photography. So I combine both elements.
And you stitch these beautiful, intricate, and very colorful patterns onto these photos.
That's
so
correct.
I mean, there's just like so much there because it's not just like pretty yarn on a photo. It's seeped in rich histories of culture and tradition and pattern that are also, you know, pattern can so often be reflective of culture and heritage and tradition. Let's start with your culture, your heritage, and your traditions. You are from Guadalajara. And that's actually where you're calling in from, right?
Yes.
So how does that inform how you see your own artwork? Like, how do you feel like your heritage as a Mexican artist informs your actual artwork?
I think in Mexico, everywhere you go, there is a lot of color. I don't know. People like to use a lot of color. Like, you are bombarded by color everywhere. And obviously, you know, the indigenous cultures in Mexico as well. So I think I was very influenced by everything around Mexico, basically, you know?
Yes, I was astounded. I mean, I went to Mexico City recently and I mean, it felt like coming home to ancestors in a way. Like, I felt so a part of my Latinahood when I was in Mexico. And I mean, I do obviously in Colombia, which is where my actual family is from, but seeing the color everywhere. And like you said, on altars, in sacred spaces, these bright pinks, bright yellows, bright blues and greens, they make you feel like you've come alive just by seeing these beautiful colors. It's astounding.
I think one of the things I always, whenever I was abroad and I would miss about Mexico, it would be like the life on the streets. For me, I miss that. You know, I love whenever I go somewhere and to be able to see that sort of chaos and people selling stuff and I don't know, stuff like that. I like that, you know, it makes me feel comfortable.
So you like color, you like a dash of chaos, mm-hmm. and you like textiles. So it all started with you studying clothing design. Is that the kind of design you studied?
No, it was a combination of industrial and graphic design.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a mixture.
And what drew you to those disciplines?
I used to say that I wanted to be a painter or a fashion designer, but both careers, like in Mexico, are like, no way you're going to study that, right? Like, because, you know, people always, you know, it's like the common thing to say, like, you're not going to make any money out of art or you're going to struggle a lot. And so you tend to go, okay, I will do design because design is kind of like,
it's the commercial version of art.
Yeah, exactly. But when I was there, to be honest, I didn't feel it. Like, I was like a frustrated artist, you know, because I was like, I don't know, I didn't feel the design as much. I like to break rules.
Yes.
So I don't like to follow rules, you know, like, I mean, design, you need to follow certain rules. And I never liked that.
Design is like you can break the rules within the rules, right?
Exactly,
there's like the rule set and then it's like, oh, break the rules as long as you follow the rules. Is that what led you to London?
Yeah. I was supposed to go and study for 6 months only in London. But then when I arrived there, I thought like, oh my God, this is the place I've been looking all my life or something like that. You know, like,
I love London. Yeah, I love it.
Everywhere on the streets, like the multiculturalism, the I don't know, like the museums, everything. Like, I was like, I need to stay here.
And you stayed for 12 years?
Yeah, I think even a bit more.
Wow. That is a solid residency.
Yeah.
No, but I love that because also like that rejuvenated your mindset. I mean, I think a city like that can really inject you full of self-discovery and creative self-discovery, which is exactly what happened to you, I suppose, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of what led you to this, not sort of, that is what led you to the place where you are now and the discovery of your current art form, right? So tell us a little bit about that catalyst. Moment.
I think there was 100 catalyst moments, you know, like when I was there. I think, you know,
yeah.
I think to start, it was just like to get out of your bubble, you know, when you're in Mexico and you're so, I went there when I was like 21 or something, you know, so super young. And yeah, and at the beginning, it wasn't easy, you know, like because you are so used to, and there is this element of getting used to and feeling really lonely as well and vulnerable.
Yeah.
But also I felt really free, you know, because I was doing stuff that I wouldn't do in Mexico. Like I would walk for hours and watch people and sit in cafes on my own. And so it was like an exploration of myself. So that's why there was a lot of catalyst. I think from the beginning was element of creativity always in the stuff that I was doing.
That's very clear. I think even just looking at your work now and the very many levels and layers to it, it's very clear that the mind behind it processes a multitude of messages and symbols and philosophies at once, and you mush those all together into your final product, you know, and that's a pretty spectacular thing to bear witness to.
I didn't plan this, but what I'm doing now, it feels so right, you know, like mm-hmm. I feel like this is what I came here to kind of feeling, you know. Because it was like,
that's so beautiful.
I mean, obviously it wasn't easy, you know. I did a lot of things before that. It wasn't like straight away everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always say to people, you know, you don't need to know exactly what you want to do right now. You just need to have maybe one or two things clear that you won't compromise. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, I don't want to work in an office, obviously. And, you know, I want to be my own boss. And then I think life itself has started to bring you a possibility.
Totally. I want to say it was Elizabeth Gilbert who was talking about passion versus curiosity. And she gave a talk and she was basically like, it's not about passion, because not everyone exists from a place of pure, unflinching, unknowing of what they want to do and pure passion for it. But she's like, but the key to finding passion is curiosity and following all of the forks in the road, no matter how random they may appear, with that sheer sense of openness and curiosity, because eventually it will actually lead to passion. And it sounds like that's what happened with you.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of books about flowing, actually, a lot of people that they go to really high levels in like CEOs and stuff like that, you know, just by flowing,
yes.
Just by going with the flow, which sounds ridiculous for most, like the mentality that the society teaches. People are starting to open up that actually, you know, flowing is better.
Flowing is better. I mean, speaking of chaos, all of our entire universe is chaos. It's just like somewhat elegant chaos. And
yeah.
If we try to pretend we have control over everything and we can predict the outcomes of every step of our lives, we're fooling ourselves. And I feel like that's really what perpetuates anxiety. So let's talk about your surrender. I do know that there was a moment that pushed you to a certain creative breaking point where you were like, you know what? F it. I'm just going to like try this out. And that's actually what led to where you are now as an artist. Tell us about that moment. I'm thinking specifically when you left your house on a really bad day.
I love that story, to be honest. because for me, honestly, that day changed my life, I think.
Yes.
You know, if I wouldn't go out for milk that day, I think sometimes the signs are in any moment. People are looking for big signs or whatever, mm-hmm. And they just arrive, you know, if we pay attention to them. So yeah. That day, I was having a bad day, and I was frustrated because I didn't know what to... I was doing fashion and I wasn't very happy. You know, I wasn't enjoying as much as the beginning. So I wanted to change a little bit. And I went out and I saw this guy on my road putting this little paste up with paste. And that's a type of art that is used in street art. And then when he left, I saw that he did like a little miniature of a scene or something like that. And I really liked it. So I Googled him. And he happened to be Mexican as well, that guy, in London. And at the time I was doing what I do right now as a hobby. So I had millions of images from magazines with yarn on them, you know.
Wow. So you were already doing that.
Yeah, I was doing it just because I was doing fashion styling. For fashion styling, you do like this creative brief or... some color theme or stuff like that for to do the styling. And I had all these magazines, so I was doing a stitching on them, you know, like a hobby.
So it all came together at that moment, and you started stitching with colorful patterns, and that was just to pass the time. But then you saw this guy wheat pasting on your street who happened to be Mexican. There are no coincidences.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sparked something in you.
Exactly. So I remember coming back home and seeing all my desks full of these images with yarn on them and thinking, you know, I'm just going to put them out there like this guy, you know, like, because what's the point for me to have them in that corner, you know, so at least someone can see them or something.
Yes.
You know? There was not a thought like, I'm just going to do it and I'm going to become an artist and I'm going to make money out of this and, you know, never.
Yeah.
Never. It was just pure like, you know, like a child, really.
Yes.
So next weekend, I just went out, paid my little, you know, my collage on the streets of London.
So let's focus on your career now, because the big spoiler alert to the Cultured Crew, if they haven't followed you before, because they will now, is that fast forward, how many years ago was that?
3.
Oh my God. Okay. Fast forward 3 years, which is not a very long time. And you've exploded in the art world. I mean, you're known for this and your art is truly spectacular. And now you're playing with scale. And so tell us about what are you doing now with your art that you could have never imagined even trying before?
I mean, well, to start, it's like traveling around, you know, the world, like making exhibitions or installations or editorial as well. I don't know. It's just like a lot of things that I would never expect it.
So let's talk about your process, because that's really what you feel so passionately about. That's what you treasure. Where do you begin? How is a piece or even the concept of a piece born in your mind?
I think a lot of my pieces are inspired by people. I feel really inspired by people who follow their own path. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I love people that try to challenge what is already said. For me, they're the visionaries, the people that they really change things. But right now, I'm kind of moving more into anything that is happening in my life right now, emotionally. My process starts from there, from the emotion of the curiosity of something, because mm-hmm. then I start to research on the internet and that like opens other things and maybe start to read about something that I wasn't looking at the beginning, but then I found it really interesting and I ended up making the piece about that. Or
is there something you felt that way about recently?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing recently, I think is inspired because at the beginning I was doing as well. I remember some of the street art pieces, it was related with sometimes just pop artists, but also social causes. Mm-hmm. Because for me, there's that element is very important in creativity, I think. Because before, I think when I was doing fashion or floristry, that was good in terms of creativity. I always wanted to say or question or talk about the other things that I see around me, you know, that I'm not completely happy or injustice or inequality or stuff like that. So I always liked art that is not only pretty, but also says something about ourselves or our conditions. I always wanted to do this mixture of both things. So what I do right now, I think that's why I was telling you that I feel like it really resonates 100% with me, because I get to do something creative, which I love, but with also a message that is very connected with my heart.
Yeah, exactly. So the other question I have for you about your process has to do with the paper. Was there a journey of finding the right paper? Because you're punching holes in it, you're embroidering it. I imagine that there must have been some trial and error.
Yeah, of
course. The paper would have ripped a lot.
Not as much as people think, you know. You have to remember, I started doing this stitching in magazine paper, which is super thin.
I know. That's what I was thinking. That must have ripped a lot.
No, because if you start to work with materials, you start to understand and you start to learn how to make them work for your advantage.
Yes, ma'am.
So, yeah. And also, for example, the pieces that the street art pieces is just paper, like bomb paper.
It's just like copy paper?
Yes. But I have my tricks. I have my tricks to make it. It's just, I just put tape, you know, behind.
Oh, interesting.
I gave my little sneaky secret.
No, but I love your wheat pasting. I mean, you're doing such a diverse set of kinds of work. So you're doing, you know, you're sticking with your one art form, but you're doing it, you're hanging in galleries, you're doing commission, you know, sticking with the street art. And there's something really beautiful about that diversity, because it's taking art and putting it everywhere. And it's defying, there is a sense of defiance in my mind that you're doing your gallery shows and you have some celebrity commissions and commissions of all kinds, but you're still finding time and ways to put this out in the street for free. They're fun. They move with the wind, because the threads, you have the yarn hanging down far beyond the image. And so you play with that. And so the wind, I just saw in your stories today, the wind is blowing through the yarn as like people are playing behind it. It's super cool.
I enjoy so much going, you know, doing street art. If I have the time and I'm traveling somewhere for work, you know, to do a project, but in my sneaky hours that I have free, I always put something out there, you know, because I enjoy it. Even if I know that maybe in 1 hour it's not going to be there or it's not going to last as much, I still enjoy that feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Most artists, they genuinely want to just share, you know, with people what they do.
It's like, I know a lot of artists are doing this, but I think that you do it with such a pure intention. You know, I talk to a lot of artists all the time, and a lot of people do street art for recognition, right? There is a sense of, is it really art if nobody sees it and nobody knows that it's me? And I think for you, it's more the release of it and seeing how it impacts people and causes ripples. And I can tell in the way that you describe things and talk about flow and separation that you do see us all as sort of these interconnected energy points, right? Rather than these like separate human beings. That's very unique in the art world. And I love that about you.
I love the fact that the strings is a metaphor of that belief as well. Because, yes, you know, I see that interconnectedness and I try to do it that in my images as well. So I just let it flow. I just don't care, you know? Mm-hmm. A little bit like, I'm kind of very comfortable with it. I don't try to control at all. I just, every time that I feel like if something is not working, I just leave it for a second, go for a walk, come back, and then I continue and it's fine. Or if I did a mistake, I don't care, you know? It's like a little bit, like a child that just literally grabs crayons and start like, yes, doing a lot of like whatever stuff. That's the way I feel. Obviously it's a control whatever with a purpose, right? But it's a little bit like that, you know. I feel like a child with crayons, basically.
That's that beautiful balance between control and chaos, you know, that you exercise every time you make a piece. So we're just going to beautifully bring that concept full circle. No big deal. Mic drop. I think my final question for you is, where do you think your creativity is going to lead you next? Or where is it already leading you next with your work?
I think I really want to start to combine writing. Exactly what I do in my Instagram, you know, like sometimes, most of the times, whenever I'm sharing something, there is a little explanation of why or why I connected to that subject or what I wanted to say a little bit. So I would like to do that, like with a book, for example.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, so where can we find your work and visit you online?
My main focus, to be honest, is Instagram. There is where I really update constantly what I'm working or what I'm doing. But yeah, my website is victoriavillasana.com and my Instagram is Villana Art.
And we'll have all those links in the show notes, which will also include a full transcript of this conversation so that everybody can find you and see your gorgeous work. Thank you so much, Victoria, for being here with us today. I enjoyed this so much.
Oh, thank you. Me too. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for the invitation. And I hope people enjoyed.
My goodness, what a spectacular human being she is. I'm so grateful that we got to spend some time getting to know Victoria today. And as always, until our next journey into the unknown, keep it classy, keep it curious, keep it cultured. Visit culturedpodcast.com for show notes and subscription links. The Cultured Podcast is a production of my podcast production company, Frequency Media. I'm the host, Michelle Corey. Ina Garkusha is our fabulous producer. Becca Godwin is our wonderful associate producer. Our sound engineers are Cooper Skinner and Dante Hodge, and we're recording at Listen Up Audio in Atlanta, Georgia.